for giving us the opportunity to do so. Thank you for being our sending church. We've told people around the country that we have the best sending church in the whole world, and we do mean that. You folks are very helpful, and even the prayer letter that I mentioned just a little bit ago, we know that you folks help us with that. For us to do our own mailing would cost us a great deal, but also a lot of time, and we want to thank you for doing that. So we generally send out a prayer letter every quarter, and we're past that, but wanted to let you know, thank you for your praying for us, but also for all that you do on behalf of Juanetta and myself and the church in Eureka. I want to correct one thing, maybe not correct. Maybe it would just be an addition. We are missionaries in the United States. We say home missions, but it's an international ministry. I hope you understand that. We do have folks from time to time come from British Columbia to church. In fact, it's closer for them than the folks on the south side of town. So we chuckle sometimes that we have an international ministry there in Eureka. We did start in 2006 with a prayer meeting in our home. And then in November of 2006, we had our first church service. And I'm going to go ahead and show you some pictures about that here in just a moment. And Eureka is a town of only 1,500 people, but the Tobacco Valley holds about 6,000 is our ministry area. And some of you might remember how we came up with the name Valley Baptist Church, and that we teased a little bit about other possibilities like Tobacco Baptist Church, because it's in the Tobacco Valley. And Pastor Pestel was great when he was standing on our front porch at our apartment looking down at the border crossing, I can't think of the name of the customs, U.S. Customs, when he said, maybe you should consider Borderline Baptist Church, and we all laughed about that too. But because of Rexford and Fortine and Trigo and Eureka, of course, Valley Baptist is an appropriate name, so that's how we came up with that. I am going to go ahead and show slides, and then I'll give you a report. We'll be looking into the Word of God as I do that, so I'm looking forward to that, and we'll go ahead and show slides at this time then. Let's see, is this an okay place to stand where I'm out of everyone's way? Continental Baptist Missions is a home mission agency because our missionaries are in Canada, the U.S., and now Puerto Rico with the Prelgavisks, and the name was adopted in 1982. Before that, some of you would remember, it was Hiawatha Land Independent Baptist Missions. And Juanetta and I have three sons, and you know that we need to update these pictures for those of you who know us very well. Aaron and Rebecca live in Kansas City. Aaron is the youth pastor of Metro Baptist Church, and they have three little ones and a fourth on the way now. Grandma's happy for that. One a little girl that's not in this picture, there's Matthew in this picture, and of course Katie, but Natalie is not in this picture. We asked them for an updated picture, and that was just a few days ago, so it's our fault that we don't have a newer one. We don't have that. And you folks know Jason, Amanda, Ty, Shelby, and Addie, so I don't need to introduce that other than they are now living in Polaris, Montana, down by Dillon, and she is teaching school at the Polaris School. It's fun for us to be able to tell people that two of her four students are her own, so she says she gets to be paid to teach her own kids, to homeschool. Oops, I'm sorry. Levi and Rachel are living in Owosso, Michigan, and they, in the picture on the left, when they announced their engagement, it was in front of the whole Continental Baptist Missions family at one of our annual conferences in Iowa. And we love them dearly and miss them. Lansing is a close town, if, for those of you who know anything about Michigan. It's about right here, you know. So Levi and Rachel live there. And some of these you've seen before, but it's because we've just started reporting to the churches again, we need to bring them up from kind of the beginning. So you folks bear with me. When God called us into ministry, we were members of a mission church in Alaska, Birch Harbor Baptist Church, and it was while we were there, we recognized God's call into ministry, and after a few steps, like going to Bible college, and then also applying with Continental Baptist Missions. We assisted mission churches for about 10 years, helping them with construction and other things, but the way we could help them the most, so it seemed, was when a mission church was ready to build a building, we went and helped lead them through it, and from pre-construction all the way through their certificate of occupancy, and that was a good time for us. That's what God had for us for quite some time. Some of the churches were in Iowa and then Florida, and that is an aerial shot of Evangel Baptist Church down in Bradenton, Florida, and the last one that we assisted was Brookfield Baptist Church in Naperville, Illinois. Naperville is a suburb of Chicago, and Juanetta used to say, "What's a girl from Marion, Montana, doing in a place like this?" She was driving around Chicago, and she did a great job helping in many ways on our projects, getting permits or taking information to the municipalities, picking up plans and also supplies and materials and cooking meals for a lot of people. She put together visitors' packets for all the volunteers that came to help us with information like maps around the towns. And anyway, she was a busy lady during those days. When we had our groundbreaking in Illinois, it was our coldest groundbreaking that we've ever done. I had to use a pick, actually, to loosen up the soil for Pastor Squires to be able to turn a shovel full of dirt. It was -7 degrees when we did that. Brook Road Baptist Church now houses two congregations. A Filipino Baptist Church contacted them, and they are compatible doctrinally, and the Filipino church had been renting a conference building in a large motel in Romeoville. But anyway, the Filipino Baptist Church uses it during the hours that Brook Road Baptist Church is not meeting there, and every once in a while, of course, they will have a joint service. But that was the last project we worked on. Several others were, and you might remember the days when we were in these other locations. So there was a transition coming, though, and we knew that, and we kept you folks informed, and the deacons here at Bethel Baptist were involved in that, and so were your pastors. And we do say to folks that our function is different, but our focus is the same. And now I am no longer a lead builder, if you will, but a church planter and pastor, and I enjoy God's leading us from then to now. And you folks have all been part of that. Part of it, of course, was here in 06 when I was ordained. And that was a big step for me. Survived it, I guess. Some of the towns that we surveyed after that and around that time was, of course, Fort Benton, Montana. There are no Baptist, well, when we surveyed Fort Benton, there were no Baptist churches there, nor in Loma or Highwood or Geraldine, towns outlying the area. And so those were the kinds of towns that we were initially looking at. We also went to the Swift Current to look at the possibility of a rescue work for Prairie Baptist Church. There were 6 adults and 6 kids at the time. And praise the Lord, a pastor who is Canadian born and his family from Ontario are now there. It was not where God led us, but we sure had a heart for the folks there in Saskatchewan. We also surveyed some towns in Wyoming like Wright and like Lovell. Lovell was a unique survey in that it is Mormon controlled, really. Instead of a mayor, they have a city administrator. And usually we, almost immediately when we enter a town, let people know what we're doing, who we are. But that day we did not. And we chose to meet with the city administrator first and find out where his position in the Mormon church was. And he was actually in that ward, number 2. The ward president was a CPA that was not available that day. But anyway, in his office were 6 to 8 other people. And I asked several questions about land availability and city utilities and churches in the area, things like that. And I did ask the question, and this was intentional. I asked the question, "By the way, are any of you folks members of the Latter-day Saints?" And they all smiled and said, "Yes, we are. In fact, all 26 of our volunteer firemen are Mormons." And they were not afraid to use the term Mormon. And they asked, "Are you part of the church too?" And I said, not the Mormon church. I said, we're independent fundamental Baptists, and we are missionaries, and we're looking at Lovell to see if this is where God would lead us to start a church. And that caused a stir. They looked down at the floor, and one had a thought. Some of them were afraid. But the point was, Lovell has a poor reputation in running non-Mormons out of town. And we wanted to be so upfront that if God led us there, they would know we would not be a pushover, that we would not be easily shoved around by them. And that's how we approached that survey. I know I spent a lot of time on that, but that was pretty interesting. Not long after that, Juanetta and I knew that God was leading us to Eureka. And Pastor and Charlotte joined us when we did part of our survey of the town of Eureka. And we're glad to be there. The town is just 1,500 people, growing some, and actually looking nicer all the time. For those of you who have been there recently, you recognize that there are improvements in Eureka. The high school is half in and half out of Eureka. That's kind of letting you know what kind of town we are. The city line actually is on 8th, and it goes right through the center of the high school. So that only affects us when we're going door to door, because we can, outside of the city, hang handbills on the doors. And we've done that several times. But inside the city of Eureka, we cannot, so we can only hand invitations and flyers to people one-on-one. And here I usually, when we report to churches, like we did a week and a half ago over in Pasco, Washington, tease a little bit about Tobacco Valley and Tobacco Baptist Church and all of that. By the way, do any of you know how the name came about? What was that, Dean? The Kootenai Indians did about a century ago, maybe a little more than a century ago. Some form of tobacco would grow there, and I don't even know exactly what it is. We've seen some pictures of it, and it was the Kootenai Indians. And we asked people sometimes over in Pasco, there was a lady who knew how Lake Kookanoosa got its name. For those of you who know, that's fine. For those who don't, it is just simply three different descriptions put together in one name. The K-O-O of Lake Kookanoosa, or Kookanoosa, is for the Kootenai River, which of course runs through Libby and into the Clark Fork. The C-A-N part, this K-O-O-C-A-N, is for Canada. And the USA, of course, is the United States of America, because the reservoir is about 80 miles north-south, and a third of it is in British Columbia. So that's how the name came about. We started in our apartment by the border with a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, and this just some pictures of that those days. And then we recognized God leading us to start church services on November 19th, 2006. And so we canvassed the area, and some of the folks that were there were from Columbia Falls, and you recognize Bob Van Alstyne. He came up and helped us as well during the days we initially canvassed. That was our first flyer. I might be going too fast, but that's okay. Our first meeting place was the conference building at Riverstone Family Lodge, which seats 100 people. And it was a place that we met for over 2 years, and it was a very good meeting place. And many of you prayed about the possibility of Valley Baptist acquiring that building. And God did not work that out. He had other plans, but we are not meeting there currently. There are several reasons for that, and I'll share that a little bit later. And if I don't, please remind me, okay? Just some shots of some of our initial services when we would set up, and that's what the conference building looked like inside. Two of those young ladies are with us now, and one of them was in Juanetta's teen Sunday school class today. These three kids were recently baptized over at Ross Creek, and it was, I don't know how the water wasn't frozen, but it was certainly in the 30s. Those poor kids, they were troopers. They were determined to be baptized. It was very cold just a couple of weeks ago when we saw them follow the Lord in obedience and baptism. And that was a joy. This is just a shot a couple of years ago. We have one that is much more recent, just to kind of give you an idea of where we've been as far as growth. Right now we're in the 20s and sometimes 30 or a little bit more in our services. And I'm not, that wasn't she didn't fall asleep because of my preaching, okay? It was Ken Lynch. Had to be. Our other meeting place is in our home. And some of you have helped us with various things in building our home. Right now we're meeting in, and I know my laser pointer is broken, but still, in the left-hand portion of our home there is where we meet for services. And we can actually seat pretty comfortably 40 people or more, 45. And so for the time being, it's working well. And I hope to explain that a little bit more in a few minutes. But anyway, the area where we meet is to the left. And that's what it looks like today. We've had Vacation Bible School each year. The first year we were there, we had Vacation Bible School. And Bethel Baptist helped us a lot. A group from also Bothell, Washington, came over and helped us with our initial invitations to Vacation Bible School. We had 26 in attendance that year, was our registration. And the theme, of course, was Rescue Zone. Many of you might remember that. We had folks come out from the fire department, volunteer firemen. Two of them showed up. And, of course, Steve Short is one of our deputy sheriffs. And Brian Phillips, a border patrol. And he was... The kids just loved Brian. In fact, if any of you go up there hunting, you might want to consider shooting your game right on the border and letting it cross into Canada. Because Brian said, kids, if you ever do that, don't cross the border. We'll see you by satellite and you'll get in trouble. So don't cross the border. Come get us. It's our job to help you get it out. So that was kind of fun to hear him say that. The kids loved him. And Brenda, a police officer, Ruth Ann represented both the EMT and also search and rescue. And Ruth Ann is now a member of our church, and she's our church secretary. Some of you would recognize those pictures, and that was fun. That was our first VBS, and it was a good memory for us. The second year, we had a group from Kodiak, Alaska, help us. And kids are an important part of the ministry. We do have a good number of kids. I think today there were maybe 10 kids, maybe more than that, a dozen kids in our services today. We have a lot of fun with them. And they've been a lot of our ministry, really, and especially Juanetta's. She not only started each of the kids' Sunday school classes, now two of them are being taught by our church ladies, but now just a few weeks back, she started a class for our teenagers. So she has not only had ministry that way, but helping with the kids a lot. She's a busy lady. We have seen not only kids come to Christ and follow the Lord in baptism, but we've asked you to pray for Ron Gunkel. He's our church treasurer now, and he is over in Seattle at Virginia Mason receiving treatments for cancer and his esophagus and stomach. So please pray for Ron and his recovery. We'll keep you updated. Right now, we don't know much more. Surgery is scheduled for November 1st. He's received radiation and chemotherapy to shrink the tumor, and radiation scheduled for November 1st. We'll let you know if it's operable or not. They don't know at this point. Our baptisms have been in Sophie Lake and Lake Kukanoosa, and most recently Ross Creek. One time, though, we had, and that picture is not in here, a baptism in a stock tank. We've also had Bible conferences along the way, and some of you would remember Bill Jenkins, who's the president of Continental Baptist Missions. His wife's name is Terry. Has Terry ever been here? She has. Okay, good. I'm going the wrong way. He claims to be a hunting guide, but I'm kind of question that. I'm not sure that he can see the game very well. These are not touched-up photos. These were real photos. He was scared there. I don't know if you can tell by his expression, but his left hand was on the door handle of the car. We've had, of course, Ken Lynch in as well. Are you praying for Ken, by the way? He just had quadruple bypass surgery. Good. And groups from some colleges. I'll mention a little bit more about Crown College in a few moments. And the Brammers have been with us. And when we're recording the churches, we believe folks need to know that we are mission-minded, and we are now supporting the levels, Monty and Janine level, They're our first supported missionaries. Monty is a missionary evangelist from Eagle, Idaho, and our folks really took them in. Some of our favorite activities are sledding parties and sledding outings as a church. And even, I think, seven ladies from Valley were at the retreat 2 years ago. I take the kids out on outings when they fill in six sermon outlines. We call it a six sermon outing, but one time we went up to a gold mine on the left, and then we've gone fishing and we've gone for ice cream. We would like for you folks to continue to pray for us about several things. First, thanking the Lord that he has brought us to the 20s and 30s in attendance regularly, and that we have so far through some various ministries, like I'll mention in a little bit, but Vacation Bible School and other ministries, and personal witnessing, seen about 20 or a little bit more than that, 20 people receive Christ as Savior, and so far 8 have been baptized. We did develop a statement of faith and adopted that in 2007, and then we formed a fellowship in 2008, and now we have membership and officers and bank accounts, and of course, Bethel helped us with all of that until those things were in place. We just purchased almost 4 acres of land, 3.63 acres actually, with 330 feet of Highway 93 frontage, and it's a nice piece of land. If you haven't seen it, come and visit. You've got to see what God provided for us. This is a picture, a current picture, not even that, because now we have two more families involved. This was a picture in March. No, it was in November. I apologize. This picture is from November of last fall. So, and Jason and Amanda were there. That's not quite fair, but they were there the day we took the pictures. So anyway, we want you to pray that we will do what God's priorities are. There are so many things to do. We need to choose what his priorities are for us. We can't do it all. And so please pray with us about that. And that there will be more fruit from our Bible studies and visits. Juanetta and I try to make about a dozen visits per week, sometimes up to 20. And that works very well in the Tobacco Valley. But also, we have several Bible studies going right now. And some of them are with folks that are just toting along so much baggage from the past. I don't know how to describe it. But please pray with us about those things and for our endurance and health. And Juanetta does need our prayers concerning her dealing with arthritis all the time, rheumatoid arthritis. But also, she's doing very well with type 1 diabetes, and the pump is a valuable part of that therapy for her. So thank you for your part in that, that we will grow and that God will lead us as we plan and save toward building a building in the future. We've met with a well driller and with a fellow, an engineer for our sanitary sewer. We don't know what we'll be able to do in 2011, but we trust God for providing for all of those things. And we do want to grow spiritually. She really did say this. Her name is Jean. Her folks were the Harrahs that some of you might remember from out at Lake Blaine. Her dad and mom started the church that is, of course, at Lake Blaine Baptist Bible Camp, the chapel now. And when her and her husband moved to Eureka, there were no sound Bible teaching churches. And she actually said those words, "It's so good to be part of a Baptist church once again." She teaches our double-digit kids, right? Okay. Our Sunday school teacher. So we want to thank you all for your part in us being able to be in Eureka. Please open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34 is an interesting passage of Scripture. In that, it starts out like this. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" So there was a rebuke through God's prophet Ezekiel to those political and spiritual leaders in the days of Ezekiel in Israel. And it goes on, and I'd like to have you look with me at verse 11, comparing God, the perfect shepherd, to those who were not doing their job in regard to the leadership of Israel and leading them astray as far as leading the flock of Israel back then in regard to spiritual nourishment and food. Verse 11 says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." I told you it was an interesting passage. I don't know if any of you have ever had a missionary speak from Ezekiel 34 before. Probably not. As those of us who view the scriptures in a literal fashion, we need to recognize that this pertains directly to the people of Israel, who will yet someday be regathered in their land, and these prophecies will be fulfilled in every detail perfectly by none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, as God, is the shepherd of Israel. And we could say, is there an application for believers today? I believe there is. Not that we will be regathered and given the land and all of that as is promised to them, but that we should recognize Jesus as our shepherd. He is the one who we should follow, as it says in John chapter 10. And we can look to him, of course, as not only our shepherd, but the one to whom we receive nourishment. I look at this and I think, okay, there was a rebuke to the shepherds that were human shepherds in Israel. What about the human shepherds in our day and age? Do we have a responsibility? Yes, we do. As church planters, Juanetta and I look at this and we say, okay, we can make an application for us. Maybe not a direct one as a literal one to Israel was, but look at verse 16 with me. "I will seek that which was lost." Am I responsible as one of God's children, as one of his sheep, as a shepherd now in regard to being a church planter and a pastor preacher? Am I responsible to seek that which is lost? Yes, I am. And we don't have to go to this passage to prove it. There are many passages that prove it in the New Testament and in the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Yes, I'm responsible to seek that which was lost. So, of course, we recognize then that command that we often look to as a great commission out of Matthew 28 that is in our going. We should be making disciples. Is that what we are doing? Juanetta and I evaluate that. Are we out there winning folks to Christ, for Christ? Well, we need to win the lost and bring them into the fold. There's a popular, maybe, but a wrong philosophy that we should fashion our church services to attract people from the world, the unsaved, so that they come in with the methods that they're familiar with, they're comfortable with, and that they like. And then maybe slip in, sneak in, stealth-wise, some gospel message and win them that way. I disagree with that. I believe the Bible pattern is to go out and win the lost and then bring them in to the fold where they might be edified and built up together with the rest of the church. And so that's our approach. We try to make, like I said, about a dozen visits a week, sometimes as many as 20 or more. And Juanetta also goes to, she has the privilege of being part of what is called We Care out in Eureka. It's an unplanned pregnancy center. And she is a volunteer there and does have the privilege to share the gospel with anybody that comes in through the doors. That was not withheld, and she does that with some of the young ladies and the guys that they bring in. She does have the opportunity to not only share the gospel, but to lead them through Bible studies and things like that. I also, for a while, taught some boys Bible lessons up at Ranch for Kids, which was a place for teenage boys who were adopted from overseas, and their adopted parents or even their foster parents couldn't handle them. They were problem young men, and so they were sent to Ranch for Kids. There's also a girls' side to it, and I didn't have anything to do with that. However, through the year and a half that I was able to teach Bible lessons for the boys up there, I saw 7 boys receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Some of them are now scattered around. They are no longer up there. There's only 1 boy left, and he doesn't even live at the facility anymore. That's a fairly long story, but through our going out and befriending some of our neighbors and other things, we have seen people come to Christ. Actually, I take it personally when I see a scripture like this, I will seek that which was lost. Am I actually active in personal evangelism? Are you active in personal evangelism? You ought to be, as one of God's sheep. Also, several of those who have joined our church have come to Christ, and so it is part of building the church. We recognize Jesus Christ himself said, I will build my church. It's his church. To be part of that is a privilege. It really is. The second part of verse 16 says, not only I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. As we visit from home to home, there are many, many people that tell us, I've been hurt by those who claim to be Christians. They're hypocrites, and I don't want anything to do with church ever again. Any kind of organized religion or church. They have been driven away for one reason or another, whether it's legitimate or not. That's not really the point. But to bring again that which was driven away, have we seen that? Yes, we have. Our church secretary, Ruth Ann, who I mentioned that in the slides was an EMT and also search and rescue, she said, I will never, when Etta and her first visited, I will never set foot in a Baptist church ever again. And when months and months passed, of course, and she did come to church for the first time, when Etta went over to her and said, Ruth, I thought you said you would never set foot in a Baptist church again, and here you are. Well, she befriended Ruth, and Ruth is a dear sister in Christ, and we do love her in the Lord. There's a family that's in attendance every week. They're maybe our most faithful family or close to our most faithful family right now that were bitter. They had been used in other churches. They had seen divisive people in other churches and causing problems, and they didn't want to be any part of that anymore. And they had also, the husband had said, I will never go to church again. And yet, by God's grace, we have seen them through we don't even know what God has used. We've taken the meals, we've helped when their kids were in, one boy was in the hospital, things like that. But they are probably our most faithful family right now. And God has brought them in because we see that they were driven away. The third statement in verse 16 is, and I will bind up that which was broken. There are many broken people out in Eureka. I think sometimes a place like Eureka is a hideout, you know, for those who have addiction problems and other broken issues in their relationships or whatever. How do we bind them up? Well, hope I can answer that question, but we have tried to help families that have addiction issues. In fact, for a while, some of you might remember, we had 4 little boys living with us, 3 different dads involved in those 4, that were fathers for the 4 boys. And now there's another that isn't even the dad of any of them. And one of the dads is in Deer Lodge. There was abuse issues, and we took those boys in and tried to bind them up as they were broken, and they certainly were. And so they were a part of our ministry for over a year. Are they right now? No, they're not, but it's still part of our ministry. And there have been several come to us like that. How much time we spend, we just do what we believe the Lord would lead us to do. Right now, there's a couple that we're counseling with that, and it's not an immorality issue, but there's some really serious issues going on in their home. They have three kids, three little kids. And after starting counseling with them, we, of course, the first thing we do with all of them is see whether they're saved or not. What are we working with here, you know? And one of them made a profession of faith in my pickup one day, but at any rate, this couple that we're now counseling with have a clear testimony of salvation, and yet there are some serious problems, and we've told them, if we're going to continue this on a regular basis, you need to be in our church services, because a lot of my counseling comes from the pulpit, and they have been in every church service since. Well, not Wednesday nights yet. We haven't seen Wednesday nights yet, but they were, of course, there today. So that's part of what we're doing, is seeing whether they're spiritually alive or spiritually dead, first of all, and then trying to help them through their issues in life, but also, by God's grace, they're part of the ministry of Valley Baptist Church. The last part of that I want to look at in verse 16 is to strengthen that which was sick, to strengthen the sick, the spiritually sick. What do we use? We use the balm of the Word of God, don't we? That is, coupled with God the Holy Spirit, applying the Word of God to their lives is what heals. And so we focus on teaching and preaching the Word of God. And that might not be as popular as some other entertaining things, and yet it is what God uses to heal those who were sick. And so, like I mentioned in the slides, I hand out an outline for the kids to fill out, and I tell the kids, if the adults that are sitting next to you have a problem with trying to figure out what goes in the blanks, you help them, okay? And the kids, the adults get it, and it was fun for a while, because sometimes, well, we actually had several single people for quite a while in our church services, and still do have some, and they would sit next to a kid and help the kid with the outlines. Anyway, the whole point of it is to pay attention to what the Word of God says, because that's what God uses in the lives of individuals who are spiritually sick in need of healing that way. And it's been fun, because we've gone on several outings because the kids have handed me six sermons. I received several today. That was a lot of fun. Anyway, so we focus on teaching and preaching the Word of God in our regular services and in our Bible studies. We do also have Bible studies with folks in their homes. And we believe that, of course, that is how God heals the sick, is through His Word, coupled with the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So they must be saved and also growing in the Word of God. We do have some prayer requests for you. And one of them is, of course, our new teen ministry. Friday night is our first pizza planning and prayer night. And so pray with us as we meet with the teens Friday night of this week at 6:30. And then also, we have a ministry occasionally up at Mountain View Manor, which is our nursing home in Eureka. And that is a prayer request that we have for you, that God will use that ministry as well. There is something new that you need to know about, too. And that is, we had a family of three with us a couple of years ago who were in all of our church services, Wednesday nights and everything. And there again, we first started meeting with them about some marriage issues, and there was no immorality or anything like that involved, but they were struggling, and you know what we discovered as we were going through that with them? One of the major issues in their struggle was God had called Scott to preach, and Scott is his name. God had called him to preach, and they didn't recognize it at first, and Tara wanted him to be a leader, and he is a medical doctor, she's a nurse, and they left the practice, and moved down to Powell, Tennessee, and have been students at Crown College. I told you, I mentioned Crown College again. And they are now out of seminary and just recently called us, and we're looking for a house for them in Eureka. They would like to come and help us, for they have not put a stipulation on the period of time. So please pray with us as Scott, Tara, and Grace McLaughlin, their daughter Grace is 9 years old, moved back to Eureka after graduating from seminary in Tennessee and are part of Valley Baptist Church. God could use that in a great way, and we're asking him to do that. So there are some adjustment times. We all know that, and we have already been planning toward that. But please pray with us about all of those things as well, as far as the McLaughlin's coming. And then that more of our folks grow to become solid in their faith and in the Word of God, and that even as we plan to build a building in the future, that God will provide for the funds for that as well. You can praise him that we don't owe anything on the land. The land we were able to purchase by God's grace without any debt. And we have already saved another $10,000 or so toward building, which is not a lot. We understand that, but we continue to save toward that as a church. So please pray with us about these things.